The first reading is from Isaiah 30, verses 15 to 21. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. But you would have none of it. You said, no, we will flee on horses. Therefore you will flee. You said, we will ride off on swift horses. Therefore your pursuers will be swift. 1,000 will flee at the threat of one. At the threat of five, you will all flee away. Till you are left like a flagstaff on a mountain top, like a banner on a hill. Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He raises to show you compassion, for the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him. O people of Zion who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. How gracious he will be when you cry for help. As soon as he hears, he will answer you. Although the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, your teachers will be hidden no more. With your own eyes you will see them. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it.
Second reading is taken from James chapter 4, verses 1 to 10. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desire, that battle within you? You want something, but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think the scripture says without reason that the spirit he calls to live in us envies intensely, but he gives us more grace? That is why scripture says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up.
The gospel reading is taken from John chapter 14, verses 23 to 27. Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid.
I wanted to continue this morning with Ian's message last week about prayer and reading the Bible, some of us having come back from new wine and having heard about the Word and the Spirit working together, and a lot of us, or some of us, fed back. I can remember Helen Dunstan saying about perseverance in prayer and the need to pray. So when we call upon his name and acknowledge him in everything we do, as a consequence, our hearts go his way in his strength rather than our own. Now, we know that, but it doesn't always work that way for us because other things take us off track. In this first passage, God had warned Judah not to turn to Egypt and other nations for military help, but to trust him and wait quietly. But they became impatient, rejected God, relying on human cleverness and power instead, which caused big problems for them. And like Judah, we miss out on God's grace when we don't wait on God and hurry to act by human power. We forget that God makes all grace abound to us, supernatural grace, so that in all things at all times, having all that we need, we will abound in every good work. It's easy to forget. We walk out, so we look elsewhere. End of Psalm 91, I'm always reminded we only require to do three things. Because he loves me, he acknowledges my name, and he calls upon me. That's all we're required to do, and God does everything else. I will, I will, I will, I will. But we take matters into our own hands. In fact, a very simple example the other day, the cat had been sick on the floor. So my husband said, oh, you can clear all that up, which is what usually happens. So I said, oh, yes, all right. And then I noticed in the utility room where he's fed, the cat food wasn't there anymore, and I wanted to feed him. And I said, where's the cat food gone then? So he said, oh, well, he took matters into his own hands and decided he would eat it and attack the packets of food, and that's why he was ill. And I thought, yes, we take matters into our own hands, and then there's always a consequence, which isn't a good one for us, because we have something that we don't need at that time, or something that's out of the will of God for us. We turn elsewhere, we've forgotten God's promises, or we don't fully know what we have because we're not feeding on his word, but on other things. And the verses in our second reading in James really carry on with the same picture. You quarrel and fight, you desire but you don't have, you covet but you cannot get what you want. You do not have because you do not ask God, and then when you do ask him, you ask him with the wrong motives. And it's about having what we want when we want it in this society where we live, don't we? It's I want it and I want it now. And I sometimes don't really care who I walk over to get it, but that will gratify me at this moment. And we've lost in some ways, I think, what's called delayed gratification. When the people of Judah turned to other countries, they made alliances with them. They were actually coming out of a time of prosperity, really. But as soon as they were met with the armies fighting against them, made alliances with them, and then, of course, started to pray to their gods. They accepted their practices. They decided to walk with them. They built altars on high places. And we hear about those altars having to be smashed later on when the other good kings came in and decided to follow God. They had to get rid of those altars. But we do the same thing. We don't realise what we're doing. But I had a very good definition, really, of idols. This is Jonathan Kahn writing. And he said, whatever you put first, above everything else, that's your God. Whatever you serve, whatever you live for, whatever it is that drives you, that's your idol. Whether your idol is money, pleasure, success, beauty, comfort, power, possessions, a career, an object, a goal, or your own self. Whatever you put first and serve, that's your God and idol. But here's what you must always remember. Every God and idol has an altar. There's always a cost to serving them. There's a price to the idols and gods. There's always an altar. And the altar will always require a sacrifice. Some will require the sacrifice of your peace. Others will require the sacrifice of your health, your marriage, your time, your family, your integrity, your well-being. And the more you serve them, the more you must sacrifice. But doesn't God also have an altar and require a sacrifice? God does have an altar, but not like any other. You see, on all the other altars of this world, man sacrifices for his gods. But on God's altar, it is God who sacrifices himself for man. It is God himself who is the sacrifice. Therefore, you must no longer sacrifice and give yourself to any of the gods except for one, the one and only God, who gave himself as a sacrifice for you. And because of that sacrifice that Jesus made for us, we come to the last passage where he says, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. And I've always thought that was a wonderful statement, that Jesus and God the Father come to us and make their home with us in the power of the Holy Spirit. He says, anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. And he said, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I've said to you. And then he promises peace. Peace that the world cannot give us. To be able to rest in the place of the peace that Jesus gives us is the most wonderful place, isn't it? But he also says here, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. And again, it comes back to our prayer and reading the Bible, because without that, we don't know what he's taught us. We forget. We haven't got it in our minds, and we'll look elsewhere. John Ryland, Christian Healing Mission, posted a message this week entitled Letting the Bible Read Us. And I thought it was helpful because this is all out of our control. We're not striving to be these people that God wants us to be. He would do it all for us if we let him. And so he read this, he wrote this. This comes from 1 Thessalonians 2:13, first of all. And we also thank God continually, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as a human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. And John Ryland writes, how wonderful that the word of God is at work in us who believe. There is no mention of us necessarily being aware of it or feeling it, yet it is active. How does this happen? One way, one key way, is through reading the Bible. It's been said that it's not so much how we read the Bible, but rather how we let the Bible read us. Reading the Bible is not just about reading the words on the page, but letting them touch us. We read a passage to learn more about the nature and character of God and to discover what he says about us. But we also read it to find its specific application for us. A good question to bear in mind is this: how does this passage speak to me, to my current situation? If you're going through challenging circumstances, take time to read carefully a passage of the Bible and keep this question in mind: what is this saying to me today in my situation? So we're going to do that very thing. David is going to hand out some, this is relating to our first Bible passage this morning, and this is called Lectio Divina. We've done this before, particularly people who've taken part in the 24-hour prayer, and we're just going to go through this morning to hear God speaking to us. And then you can take this away, and if it's helpful, there's a web address at the bottom where there are several Lectio Divinas with different questions on different passages, quite helpful. But it's a way of allowing the Word of God to feed us. And as the Word of God feeds us, it feeds our spirits, and then our spirits inform our minds and we change. We have a different outlook. We trust God more. We have a different way of relating. We change from the inside out. If I could just have one, that would be really helpful. Thank you. So what we're going to do, I'm going to read the passage through. We've got some time. I've allowed the time for this, but at home you'll do this much more slowly than I'm going to do it this morning, so you would allow time. And then after each reading, there's something then that we consider. So I'm going to read it through slowly first. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. But you would have none of it. You said, no, we will flee on horses. Therefore you will flee. You said we will ride off on swift horses, therefore your pursuers will be swift. 1,000 will flee at the threat of one, at the threat of five you will all flee away, till you are left like a flagstaff on a mountaintop, like a banner on a hill. Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore he will rise up to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him. People of Zion who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. How gracious he will be when you cry for help. As soon as he hears, he will answer you. Although the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, your teachers will be hidden no more. With your own eyes you will see them. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it." Now, first of all, what is one word or phrase the Holy Spirit impresses upon you? Meditate on that. Now I'm going to read the passage for a second time. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. But you would have none of it. You said, "No, we will flee on horses." Therefore you will flee. You said, "We will ride off on swift horses, therefore your pursuers will be swift. 1,000 will flee at the threat of one. At the threat of five, you will all flee away, till you are left like a flagstaff on a mountaintop, like a banner on a hill. Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore, he will rise up to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him. People of Zion who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. How gracious he will be when you cry for help. As soon as he hears, he will answer you. Although the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, your teachers will be hidden no more. With your own eyes you will see them. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it.'" This time, enter into the scripture passage. What do you feel? What specific situation in your life today relates? Write down a prayer or pray quietly.
And now I'll read it for the last time. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. But you would have none of it. You said, no, we will flee on horses. Therefore you will flee. You said, we will ride off on swift horses. Therefore your pursuers will be swift. 1,000 will flee at the threat of one. At the threat of five, you will all flee away till you are left, like a flagstaff on a mountaintop, like a banner on a hill. Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore he will rise up to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him. People of Zion who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. How gracious he will be when you cry for help. As soon as he hears, he will answer you. Although the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, your teachers will be hidden no more. With your own eyes you will see them. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. And so finally, what is God's personal invitation to you from the scripture? You can write down what God may be saying to you, or a prayer of thanks, or just rest quietly in God. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you long for us to rest in your presence, to love you, to acknowledge you, and to call upon your name. And Father, we thank you that you long to show us compassion, that every one of your promises is true, and that you give us all grace to manage anything that comes to us in our lives, because your way is perfect. Thank you that we hear your voice from the right or from the left saying, this is the way, walk in it. Amen.